Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
There's no doubt that we can often get bored of our routines, and this can result in a lack of motivation. The same goes for your study routine. This is why, due to popular demand, in this podcast episode, we'll be sharing 7 different ways that you can make studying English fun.
Whether you study alone or have friends also learning English, there's something for everyone in this podcast episode. We want to inspire you to change up your routine and get you motivated once again to learn English. Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
joyous
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, riding your bike, playing some video games, or even
decorating your Christmas tree.
So I'm joined here in the virtual Barcelona studio, as always, by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
It's going good, thanks. How about you?
Pretty well. Can I tell there by the intro that you are decking the halls?
Yeah, so it is December now. So, you know, lots of people are putting up their Christmas tree, decorating. The lights are up in Barcelona, which is amazing and really pretty to see. But you mentioned something there, deck the halls. What does that mean?
So maybe people are familiar. There's a song that says, deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa-la-la-la, la-la-la-la. And Christmas music, it's a great way to learn about the culture and everything, of course, and learn all this vocabulary. Actually, we did a lesson a couple years ago where we taught something like 40 words that are related to Christmas, and we used for all the examples from different songs. So we can link that in the show notes, which are linked in the description of this podcast. But I went off on a tangent there. So deck the halls basically means that you're decorating, right? Which is something that we, during December in the US, often it's after Halloween or after Thanksgiving, a family tradition can be decorating the house.
Yeah, I haven't quite done it yet, but I'm going to try and get some new decorations this weekend, I think, and put the tree up and everything. Yeah.
And I am not doing that. My house will be not so merry because I'm going to the States for Christmas. So I will be doing that when I'm there with my mom, which is a nice tradition that we have from when I was little. So I always look forward to that.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Put on some Christmas music, drink some eggnog, and decorate the Christmas tree. So this is not a Christmas episode. We will be for sure doing one or maybe even two because Andrea and I are both gaga about the holidays. But we have, before we get into today's topic, all about fun ways to practice your English, we have a shout out to a very special listener and app user.
So today's shout out is from Mr. Kevin Clark, and he says, it's really an amazing app. I tried to find a podcast app earlier that provides the definition of words along with a transcript, but wasn't able to find it. It's the most splendid app I have ever come across. It's really helped me to improve my vocab. I'm glad that I found it. I also taught myself a new abbreviation. App stands for application. It's literally my honest review. Please keep sharing your podcast.
All right. So thanks so much, Kevin. So great to hear that you're enjoying the app. If you want us to shout you out, then you can try out the app as well. And if you enjoy it, then leave us a 5-star review in your favorite app store, and we might shout you out just like we have Kevin today. So we're about to start talking about our main topic, but as always, we like to give you a little treat before we get into it. And today we have a burning question from one of our listeners.
Hello, Andrea, Ethan, hello, real lifers. I hope you're doing great. My name is Munir. I'm from Algeria. I'm 22 years old and I'm a graphic designer. Sometimes I have to interact with people from different cultures, and English is the only way to communicate. My burning question is how to give a proper feedback or a criticism to someone in English. Thank you so much.
That is a great question. And it's something that, especially since the pandemic, that many people are meeting online. Many people might be getting new jobs where they're working remotely from another country, and so they might be communicating in English with a multicultural team. And definitely this is one of those places where maybe you can get in trouble because maybe you come from a culture that's more direct and you don't want to sound rude when you're giving a piece of feedback. Or maybe you come from a place that could be overly polite. I think maybe no one's as polite as we English speakers are, but if that is the case, that you come from a place, maybe you don't want to sound too verbose in your feedback.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's important to be specific, but you need to think about the culture and the fact that we tend to do things in a really polite way. One thing that I always remember when giving feedback, which is quite a nice thing to remember, it's quite an easy thing to remember, is like a sandwich. So you kind of, I remember giving feedback to teachers when I would work in schools, and you know, you start with all the positive things that they do, mm-hmm. and then in the middle of the sandwich, you sandwich in between basically the good things, the more critical things mm-hmm. that you want to say, and then ending, you know, at least with kind of one more positive. Just that way you let the person leave feeling like they got some really specific feedback and things that they can mm-hmm. work on, but not feeling really disheartened or down because maybe they were also criticized.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's much, in a sense, it's harder to give critical feedback because it's uncomfortable, it's awkward. When you give positive feedback, people tend to be happy. But it's also that the negative things tend to stick out to us more. And so it can be really easy to forget to give positive feedback. So it can definitely be a good idea just to think about, you know, taking note when someone does something that was really helpful or that showed that they really put in some effort or really created some value, and making sure that you actually have a collection not only of the critical feedback or growth-related feedback, but also for the positive things. And there's definitely different phrases and stuff that you're going to want to use so that you might not sound too direct or too rude. For example, using modal verbs can be really good. So you might say, for example, you might want to, or it would be good if you could, and then say the piece of feedback or the thing that you want the person to change or try or whatever the case is. Modals always help for that. Something else that can help is using words like, I recommend that you, or maybe you could consider, words like this that aren't saying like you have to do it this way or that are really pushing your opinion on the other person, but instead are kind of giving them a recommendation or a piece of advice, which people tend to be more open to than if they feel like they're being told that they have to do something.
Definitely, yeah. You could even like ask it as a question, like, what do you think about trying this? Or what do you think about that? And again, that's like what you just described. It's not telling them how to do things, but suggesting.
Right. Well, Andrea, this is a big topic. In fact, I think we could do a whole podcast on it. So we might have to jot that down and in the future, dig more into just that topic of feedback. But hopefully for some of you, if you are in the same situation as Munir, where you're working in a global team, or you have to use your English in these kind of situations, hopefully that will give you a place to start from. And let us know if you would like us to do a full podcast just talking about how to give feedback in English. And Munir, just really great job on your English. You have an excellent accent, excellent pronunciation. So I can tell you've been working really hard, and keep at it.
Yes, definitely. Thank you very much, Munir. And if you would like to hear your voice and hear your burning question on the podcast, then make sure you send it in to us. So you just need to do what Munir did. You need to tell us your name, where you're from, and your question, and then send your audio to Andrea@reallifeglobal.com. That's Andrea@reallifeglobal.com. And we look forward to receiving your questions.
Yeah. So let's get into our main topic, all about 7 ways that you can make your English studying more fun. Hey there, Real Lifer. Have you downloaded the Real Life English app yet? On the app, Andrea and I will guide you beyond the classroom to live, learn, and even speak English in the real world. So how do we do this? To start with, you can listen to the Real Life English podcast and Beyond Borders talk show, even this very episode, with digital transcripts so that you can follow along and develop your listening fluency. Plus, check dozens of definitions of all the most difficult vocabulary, idioms, phrasal verbs, slang, and so much more that you won't find anywhere else or in any other podcast. And how would you like to develop real-life speaking confidence at the touch of a button by speaking with other learners while making friends across cultures? Sounds like a dream, right? Well, now with the Real Life app, it will be a dream come true. Download the app to listen to our podcast with transcripts and definitions whenever and wherever you want, and speak with people from all around the world. What are you waiting for? Join our global community today by clicking the link in the description of this podcast or by going to www.realifeglobal.com/app. That's APP. Or simply search for the Real Life English app in the Google Play or Apple App Store today and let us guide you beyond the classroom to live and learn and speak English in the real world. Aw, yeah. So, Andrea, what's the first way that we have that people can spice up their English learning routine?
Yeah, so it's not surprising that number one on our list is watching your favorite TV series, watching movies, listening to music, if you like doing that, and of course, listening to podcasts.
Yeah, and it's great listening to English learning podcasts like this one, but I would also recommend that you challenge yourself a bit and start to listen to some native podcaster. It doesn't necessarily need to be a native that's making the podcast, but podcasts that are talking about other things, but in English. And this is a great way to explore your interests and to gather new vocabulary, to improve your listening. And if you find it really challenging at first, something that I've heard is quite helpful, and that I've actually done this before with Spanish podcasts, is to slow down the audio. And you could even listen to a podcast twice, like slowing it down, doing it at 0.5 or 0.75 speed first, and then listen to it at full speed. And then maybe you even want to take it further and listen to it at 1.5 speed. But that's a really great way to get out of your comfort zone and improve your listening skills.
Yeah, and even when it comes to watching TV series and movies, depending on where you're at in your learning, like you can watch it with subtitles to begin with, maybe in your own language, if that helps. And then when you're ready, watching it with English subtitles and so on. So there are different levels that you can take this as well. So you don't need to just think, oh, but I can't understand the original version, it's too difficult for me, or anything like that. You can adapt all of these so that you can still, you know, watch TV series in the original version, but with a little bit of help.
Totally. And if you enjoy TV series, movies, music, we've done videos probably with any TV series that you love, any movie that you love. I mean, there's always more, of course, but definitely go check out our Learn English with TV series channel if you are not already a subscriber there, because that's a really great way that you can make it more accessible to learn with your favorite TV series and movies, and also make it a lot more effective because we explain all the vocabulary, expressions, jokes, pronunciation, so that you don't miss a thing. And for those of you that don't like TV series or movies so much, another really great resource can be TED Talks. And TED Talks often have a transcript available, so that can be really helpful to be reading along. Maybe you can even look at it first and see if there's any words you don't know, any expressions you don't know. And people tend to speak, when they give a TED Talk, very clearly. They really enunciate every word that they say. So I've had a lot of my students say that TED Talks really help them to improve their listening because of this, and just learn about really interesting things at the same time.
Yeah. And again, if you're watching this online or on YouTube, if it's a little bit too fast for you, you can always slow down the speed again. So that's a really useful tool. And then, you know, you can track your progress that way from seeing how you then get back up to like the normal speed.
Totally. What's the second fun way that we have for them to spice up their studying routine?
Yeah, so the second way is to combine your learning English with activities that you like. I think this is really important. So for example, if you like drawing, you can watch videos on YouTube, like instructional videos of how to draw, or if you want to do a course, maybe you could find one in English. Mm-hmm. Just an example for me, living here in Barcelona, I really like Pilates classes, and I had some experience from the UK, so I knew a lot of the vocabulary and instructions. And then when I came here, I wanted to continue it, and I found a great place. But of course, the classes were in Spanish. But, you know, in those sorts of, if it's an exercise class or things like that, where there's more of you, you can kind of follow along with what others are doing, as well as if you have a little bit of knowledge already, that can really help you. But then you're going to increase your vocabulary even more. Like, I learned so much just from my Pilates classes.
Yeah, that's, I did the same with yoga, and it's great for learning different vocabulary related to parts of the body. And of course, there's, whether you're watching instructional video or you go to a class, and that's really the great thing nowadays, right, is that you can find videos for any of those kind of things on YouTube. You can watch what other people are doing, or you can watch what the person in the video is doing. So even if you didn't understand what they did, through the context, you'll learn. And you're killing two birds with one stone too, because you're getting a workout, which is great for your body. And I've heard that different studies show that we actually learn better when we're in movement. So doing those things for your body, those can be really great. Also, for example, someone on our team said that they were really into theater, and they actually used that to improve their English, because they would create different skits in English, like writing a short script, and then they would act it out. And this is a really great way to practice your enunciation, your pronunciation, and to work on your writing first by writing out a script. And you could even do this with other friends that are into theater that are learning English. And so that's a really interesting way to improve your English. Or you could even do improv, which would require you to be more spontaneous in different situations. And practicing this, you'll probably also be able to improve your speaking skills, because you'll have to learn to spontaneously talk about a variety of topics.
Yeah, so improv is short for improvisation.
Good catch.
Isn't it? And yeah, like you said, it's when you have to kind of think on the spot. You don't have something scripted. You just kind of go in and do it. If you're a fan of The Office US, then you might want to check out an episode where Michael Scott goes to an improvisation class, and he's not very good at it, bless him, but it's hilarious.
That is really funny. And what other kinds of activities might people want to combine with their English learning?
Yeah, so any activities that you like. If you like cooking, you can follow recipes on YouTube or Google recipes and practice your reading and expand your vocabulary that way.
Mm-hmm. Also a great way to connect to the culture.
Yeah, definitely. And if you like music, you can write lyrics in English. You could write short stories or poetry even. And, you know, if you want to perform them, you can even practice that as well. Like, there are just so many things. Whatever it is you like, just think, okay, how could I combine this with English? And there's probably many ways that you can.
Yeah. You have to be a little bit creative maybe, and you could even get even more outside of your comfort zone and really build up your confidence by recording yourself, putting it on YouTube, or even just sharing it with your friends or family or something like that. So really think about these different ways that you can kind of find shortcuts to your fluency in ways that are going to be fun for you and help you become a little bit more courageous. Just a quick interruption to ask you a question. Do you ever feel frustrated when you are listening to a podcast, watching a TV series, or you are in a conversation in English and you do not understand what is said? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our Real Life Native Immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use your English in the real world. Just imagine understanding your favorite TV series without subtitles, or confidently speaking with someone and comprehending everything they say. You can do it, and we're here to help. And the best part is, you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. That's P-O-D. Or simply click the link in the description of this episode. What's the third tip that we have, Andrea?
The third tip is to study with friends. I remember doing this when I was at university, and it always made studying a lot more fun than being alone. You know, you can bounce ideas off each other. You can help each other. Mm-hmm. There's more you can do as well. Like, you can make it fun by kind of playing games with each other. There are lots of resources online to do this as well. For example, Quizlet is great for gamified flashcards, and you can create your own, or you can find a set on the site or already made as well. And, you know, by playing these games or testing each other, like, it makes you not alone in your learning, and it can be a lot more fun and more motivating.
Yeah, I think definitely when you're using the language to connect with others, that's what makes it feel really motivational. So you could also play other games like Scrabble, or also I think there's an app called Word We're Friends, which is the same thing. And this could be even a way that you can meet new people, because you can play these games with people in other parts of the world. I know, like, my dad really loves playing chess, and he plays chess online, and it's always with a lot, it's with people from all different countries, not just from the US. So this can be a good way to meet English speaking friends and learn about other cultures. There's other games like Boggle, Articulate. Maybe you can get some of these off of, if the physical one off of Amazon even, and play it with your friends in person who are also learning English. So we mentioned a couple apps there like Quizlet and Words with Friends. And that fits perfectly into our next tip, which is different apps that can help you to make your English learning more fun. So what's the first app on our list, Andrea?
Well, the first app is Awan, the real life English app, because, I mean, it's so great. I was just doing an Instagram live yesterday, and I had so many positive comments from people using the app, saying how it's fantastic, how they love that they get a transcript with the podcast so that they learn all the vocabulary and they can study with it. And even just as well to practice their English and meet people from all over the world, like to practice speaking. So, you know, it has to be on the list because we made it for learners. So it's perfect for anyone studying English and can be a really fun way to practice.
Yeah. And if you're already using that, then we'll give you a few more that you could try out. So one that I've really loved for my language learning is called Lyrics Training, because I love music. And they have all sorts of different songs. I mean, even if you're learning other languages besides English, they have probably more than a dozen different languages on there. And you can search for almost any song, any popular song at least, and find basically a gamified way to learn with them. So they'll show the video from YouTube and then the lyrics on screen, and you can pick a different level. Depending on the level, it will become harder. And you'll see the lyrics on screen, and you have to fill in, as the song is playing, you have to fill in the blanks. So this is a really great way to improve your listening, to improve your writing as well, because spelling in English can be really challenging. Connected speech, you might notice more connected speech if there was like something you missed and things like this. So definitely give that a try if you, like me, really love music. There's different apps that you can download that you can challenge your friends to sing karaoke and or to duet a song together. And this can be another fun way to learn together.
Yeah, I really love singing along to my favorite songs as well. And sometimes I don't know all of the words yet. And one feature I love on Apple TV is that when you play music, the lyrics come up. So I've learned a lot of the lyrics to my favorite songs that way as well. In a way, it's kind of like karaoke, although you don't have the mic and everything. It's also another really useful tool.
Yeah. Spotify is doing this now as well, that it's for most songs right on the app. You can follow along with the lyrics while you're listening. So, and then finally we have on here Youglish, which is a way that you can watch different videos from YouTube with English subtitles, and you can actually get the definitions of different words. So if you love consuming YouTube, this can maybe be a little bit more practical way to do it for your English learning. All right, Andrea, what's the fifth tip that we have for them?
So the next one is to make studying a ritual. So rather than just putting it off, maybe sometimes you really can't be bothered or you're bored with your routine, so you just don't study. try and make it a ritual. And what I mean by this is pairing it with something you love. So maybe having that moment where you make yourself a freshly squeezed orange juice, you make yourself a nice cup of coffee or a hot chocolate or something. And, you know, you sit down and you're ready, you know, with your favorite drink and you can start studying. You can even take it to the next level and change environment completely. So, you know, you might want to go to a cafe just to be in a different environment. Again, you can order your favorite drink, order some food, and maybe that's going to help you to focus as well by being in a different place.
Yeah, certainly, especially if you go to a place, you could go to like a library, for example. Cafes work well, depending on the cafe. If other people are there working or doing different productive things, then in general, we tend to imitate what we see people around us doing. So it can kind of just put us more in focus if we are somewhere where we see other people doing that than if we're at home where you have the distraction of, you know, maybe you want to talk to your roommate or you want to play a video game or you want to watch a TV show. And if you go to a place like a library or a cafe, you won't have those distractions tempting you away from what you really need to get done.
Yeah, and I find as well, sometimes when I have to do a task that maybe I'm not so motivated to do, sometimes I'll say to myself, oh, I'll make a nice cup of coffee, have a few biscuits, and I'll sit down and I'll do it. And it just makes it a lot easier to get started. And then hopefully the more you do that, you'll then start enjoying it because it's your moment to have that drink and do your studying.
Yeah, I think music can work really well for this as well. If you have a certain type of music or a certain playlist or something that you put on that gets you in the zone. I know, for example, if I need to really focus on something, I might put on like the Norah Jones playlist on Spotify, and it kind of reminds me of that cafe setting, even if I'm at home, and it just helps me to kind of like, you know, chill out and focus on what I need to get done. So you could even try this if you can't go to a cafe or something, just maybe be in a different room of your house that you wouldn't normally study in, or go over to a friend's house or something like that. All right, so we only have two more. What's the penultimate one, the second to last?
So the next one is to reward yourself. So for example, if you have a lot to do and you're feeling overwhelmed, rather than think, okay, I've got to sit down now for 2 hours or something and do this work, Don't do that. That's going to be really daunting. So it's going to put you off. It's going to be a bit too scary and it's too much of a big commitment. So start small. You can just study for 20 or 30 minutes and then maybe eat some chocolate or do something to reward yourself that you like. It doesn't have to be related to food. You could then go for a walk and get some fresh air. You could watch an episode of your favorite TV series, you know, if it's a short one. And it's just kind of like breaking up your study routine so that it doesn't seem so long and tiresome.
Right. And there's maybe some of our listeners have heard the Pomodoro technique. It's basically like this strategy of studying for 20 minutes and then a 5 minute break and then, or working for 20 minutes and then a 5 minute break and doing that on and off. And this actually helps us to focus better because by taking those breaks, you're kind of giving your brain a chance to rest. Of course, if you're studying for 20 minutes and those 20 minutes, the timer goes off and you feel like you're really in the zone, then you don't need to stop. You can keep going, but just making sure that you, if you start to notice that you're getting distracted or something, that then you take a break. But there's an app I used to really like to use for this called Tide, which we can also link in the show notes. But you can like play some nice music and have that 20-minute timer. And when that ends, then you can do one of these things like we suggested, give yourself a reward or change environments a little bit just to give your brain that rest period. And finally, last but not least, what's our last tip, Andrew?
So the last one, we have an acronym here, MMOs, which stands for Massive Multiplayer Online Games.
Well, video games, I think, they tend to be extremely addictive. And so if you can find one that helps you also improve your English, you're going to have no problem, quote unquote, studying because, you know, you'll just be playing a game and having fun. And the great thing about these types of video games is that they're using the connectivity of the internet to connect, you know, hundreds or thousands or millions of people online. And this way you can play usually in different teams, or maybe it'd be against people from other places. And so you can meet people from all over the world that are also playing this game. And generally the default language will be English, because since it's people from all over the place, if you want to communicate together, then you have to speak English. So you'll be practicing, you know, you're listening, maybe you'll be practicing your reading. Oftentimes there's different texts and stuff that you have to read or listen to in the game. And you'll also be improving your speaking by speaking with other players. If you do a Google search of MMOs, tons of these will come on. One of the most famous one is World of Warcraft, but you can find one that's kind of a genre that you like and stuff, and then check that out. There's endless possibilities here. All right, so that's been our 7 tips for you. Let us know. Maybe tag us on Instagram or leave us a comment over on reallifeglobal.com on this episode of the podcast, and let us know what was your favorite tip, or if you have any other ones that are really helpful for you to spice up or to make more fun your English studying routine. Thanks so much for joining us today, and we'll see you next week on the Real Life English Podcast. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes, like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend, or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.